Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Derby Monday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 6th, episode 651, and it's brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year. This
is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, this time last Monday, we were talking about the Rolex hangover, and oh my gosh, I watched Rolex all weekend. Well, let's talk about a horse hangover for this Monday morning. My gosh, with the Derby, I think I sat through hours of coverage, as much coverage as they would air on TV. I sat there for the whole entire thing. And then to have badminton going on right now. Glenn, do you have an update? Tiana Kudrey, an American rider at badminton, sitting in 10th place, just went in to the arena as the show was starting. Do you have an update?
Let's check in and see. Of course, we're talking about show jumping, the third and final phase. Yes, it's on a Monday, usually on a Sunday. They changed the schedule this year.
Holiday.
And I have badminton radio here.
Have an Italian winner here?
No, I don't think. Says he's now going to find his piece of paper.
I think she's too far away.
Yeah.
Right?
No, she's not. No, for, well, Michael Young has got to have a
cricket score.
Well, there's been a few of those.
You know.
Yeah, well, all right.
Well, the occasion, you know. No?
Well, they're just jabbering away over there. But looks like they're up to what rider number 9 is. Ingrid Klemke is going to be going in next from Germany, I think. And then Andrew Nicholson. Now, tell us about the top 3. We talked about this, and of course, we're talking about eventing here, everybody. The badminton event, 4-star event over in England, which we talked about last week, and we all made our predictions. And it looks like right now we've got Michael Young was leading after cross country.
Hold on, I'm looking for two rails down for Tiana, so that will move her down out of the top 10, unfortunately. So the highest placed American rider was actually in the arena when the show started. I'm like, no! I'm listening to this! So sorry. Okay, the top riders, let's see. Got to find him now. So you had Libiosthetic Sam, which is Michael Young, sitting in first place. Jonathan Paget, who's a New Zealand rider. You got Michael Young, who's from Germany. New Zealand is Jonathan Paget. And number 3, my pick, William Fox Pitt, sitting in 3rd place on Park Lane Hawk. So those are the top 3 for badminton coming in. All 3 of those passed the jog. All the top 10 horses passed the jog. So they're currently running probably the 9th or 8th place. You have Tiana Kudrey in 10th. Then you've got Ingrid Klimke with Butts Abraxas. And then you've got Andrew Nicholson coming up. He actually had some time penalties in show jumping, so he moved down quite a bit. But he's still in 4th place on Nero. I mean, what a great thing to have. Oh, I've got 2 horses in the top 10 in badminton. Whatever.
Yeah, we have less than a rail between Michael Young and Jonathan Paget from New Zealand. New Zealand is being represented very well in the top 10 here. Between Andrew Nicholson and Jonathan Paget.
And that would take them to the exact score that William Fox Pitt has. If Michael Young gets a rail, William Fox Pitt would win because apparently he was closer to the optimum time on cross country. So that's how that tiebreaker would be broken. William Fox Pitt would win if Michael Young takes down a rail, dude. Woo, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah, but if Jonathan Padgett goes clean, and Michael Young takes a rail, then Jonathan would win.
Because
that's he's sitting on a 39.7.
I'm not thinking about that. Well, you know what's really awesome is out of the top three horses, two are off the track thoroughbreds. Clifton Promise and Parkland Hawk are both off the track thoroughbreds. What's up? I mean, come on. If you're going to go
Venting. I met Jonathan years ago, thanks to Samantha from the Venting Radio Show. When we were doing the World Equestrian Game Show, I met Jonathan years ago, and Samantha really likes Jonathan, has been following his progress through the years. And the owners of these horses, Clifton Promise, and there's a whole bunch of different ones that have similar names. The owners of these horses from New Zealand and Australia down that way are very nice people. We've had them on the shows before, and they are the epitome of breeders who study breeding, you know? So they really do a good job studying breeding and understand what it takes to make winners. So let's hope that that continues. And I'm very excited for Jonathan, actually, because we've been following for so long here on the shows.
Well, you can pick him all you want. He wasn't your pick on Friday, if I recall.
No. I don't even remember who I did pick. I don't know. I don't remember who I picked.
You picked Michael Young, I believe.
Yeah, well, just because you know Sam and Michael Young. I mean, they have been the winning combination for the past 3 years in the world. That horse cannot do anything wrong.
Again, it's like if you were to pick Michael Young for badminton and you were to pick Orb for the Derby. We all knew that going into it. That those were the two best combinations, okay? I mean, Orb had been blowing away the pack in all the works. Every expert said Orb's going to win. Everybody, and it's kind of like, don't pick the main guys. Let's pick somebody else. And we all lost our butts because, of course, the main superstar won the Kentucky
Derby. Yeah, but I'll tell you what. You were watching all day Saturday. How many of the favorites won races on Saturday? It was very few. Very, very
few. Did you see Horse of the Year Wise Dan win his race?
Yes.
Wow. What a horse.
And
oh,
in
my
the
gosh.
Too, we'll talk about that. I have that race, too, for us to listen to it, review again. So we'll check in with that.
We'll talk to Jennifer here. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, as badminton horse trials over in England is wrapping up as we speak, as you've noticed already, Glenn and Jamie throughout the show will be playing armchair eventer, thanks in part to the badminton radio live feed. And Dr. Gordon Chang, founder of Omega Alpha Equine, will be talking about founder in his monthly virtual visit to the studio. And last but not least, Derby Day has come and gone, thus beginning the five-week period during which we here at Hit'em can make endless jokes about bizarre horse names, jockeys with poor judgment, and trainers with no scruples, and goosebumps, compliments of Larry Kalmus. And stay tuned for the phrase, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Let's do our daily winnies, and we'll check back in with Badman. My daily winnie goes out to a listener by the name of Cynthia Kim, which I don't think is her real name, but she says she's a devoted listener. She said, you and Jamie and Jen are so much fun. I went to Frankie's site and joined after yesterday's show. I commented that I had heard him on Hit'em and that he was hilarious, and he responded. And she listens on her Stitcher app on her iPad, and I wanted to mention that there are a bunch of different podcasting apps. Stitcher is one of them. And you can listen to our show on almost all of them. But Stitcher is a good way to do it if it's a free download to any of your smartphones or your iPad. And now it's your turn.
Well, I wanted to thank everybody. You know, it's very easy to give it to Orb and the connections at Derby and all that, blah, blah, blah. But we're going to get into that. Yesterday, I had so much fun. One of my friends flew in town from Atlanta and held a pseudo, it's kind of a non-baby baby shower for me with all of my horse friends like from the vet, my vet, to my farrier, all the way to my eventing friends, to my students. It was just an absolute blast. We had 20 chicks here, all horse chicks, and we just had an absolute ball. And we didn't play any baby shower games. No baby shower. No, it was like there was no baby involved at all. We had a My Little Pony party. We decorated the whole house in My Little Pony stuff.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. My husband was like, is it me or do the My Little Ponies look like little sluts? I'm like, yes, exactly.
Yes, they do.
They do. But anyway, we had a lot of fun. The whole house was done in pink My Little Pony stuff, and there were briar horses used as decoration everywhere, and we had a ball, and it was just so cool to have all those. You know, when I moved here 4 years ago, I only knew one person, and that was Chad. And now because of horses and because of the connection and love that I have and I share with all of our listeners and all of the people because of horses, I have a group of friends that like me enough to come and bring me a baby shower gift, something to do with horses. They came all the way to the house to hang out with me. And it's weird to sit there and see all these people that are like kind of there to hang out with you. And it was just really, it was kind of moving. It was touching and it was really sweet. And I had an absolute ball. And everybody else got to drink margaritas and Corona. We had like a little Cinco de Mayo theme. And it was just the weirdest, most fun party ever. And I just wanted to thank everybody. I know a couple of them are listening.
Well, I have an important question for you. The most important question is, Chad now a brony?
Definitely not. He thought the whole thing was ridiculous.
Good for him.
I was like, what is this My Little Pony? I'm like, every one of us girls started with My Little Pony at some point. We didn't have the slutty ones. We had like the real ones. The My Little ones that would actually have a real song called Friendship is Magic. But I actually found these My Little Pony friendship rings, and everybody got a My Little Pony friendship ring as a parting gift. It was hilarious.
I just saw that one of the ice cream companies, I forget which one it was, is starting a whole line of My Little Pony ice creams.
Oh, I'm in. I won't watch a show, but now I'm a little connected to them and I love them. And it was just, when you go to Party City to buy, like, you know, obviously I went to Party City to buy like paper plates and stuff. They have just rows of children's birthday party ideas, like from Cars to every type of kids movie or television show that there ever has been. You could have bought anything for that. And the amount of My Little Pony stuff that is on sale and being marketed right now is crazy. Anything,
well, I'm gonna,
My Little Pony,
I give
you
Chad
can want.
Full permission that if My Little Pony stuff ever shows up for your son, that he's allowed to throw it away and buy him a tank. He gives my permission to buy him a tank.
There's no My Little Pony stuff in the house anymore. It's all good. Don't worry about it. He's fine.
All right, let's check in at Badman and see where we are. Badman Radio.
Yeah, that distance was really good.
She was very calm.
Yeah.
Her upper body position was superb. I'm laying just very upright and just sort of just closed the horse down.
Do you know who?
Right now.
Can you tell?
Let him run on.
Yeah, Sander Offarth and Jordan
Cheese with Stefano, isn't it, in Styles?
Yeah. Arena on 42.5 penalties.
At the moment, she's clear. One to go. She's safely inside the time.
She's from Germany.
Sandra Alfart.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Punches the air. So what a first badminton it's been for her, too.
Great round.
The 26-year-old German. And she's put herself in a position, well, to put a little bit of pressure on the riders above her.
So we'll be coming up to the top four with Andrew Nicholson coming up next. Do you want to keep listening in a little bit?
Any of the others?
Yeah, let's do it. Unless you
apart from Michael Young.
I thought you might have some good money there, Rupert.
Well,
finishing the top three.
She could come up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know.
They're allowed to bet on riders over there.
Are they really?
And I'm
they have bookies. The bookies are legal there. They bet on everything.
That, you can see that she's got show jumping skills as well, hasn't she? I mean, this is the way she
rides. I'm turn it down a little bit, Glenn.
Yeah.
I think that it is totally crap that when you listen to Rolex, you hear British announcers, and when you listen to badminton, they don't have one American. Seriously?
I thought it was total crap. The guy who did most of the announcing, I forget who it is, on Saturday for most of the races, is British. It's like, isn't Kentucky Derby Day American? Shouldn't we have an American announcer? Larry only did the big races at the end. It was like, what the hell do we have a British announcer for all day?
At least he got to do it. Nero is in the arena.
Okay, here we go.
So
this is Andrew Nicholson.
Andrew.
Fourth place.
She stayed on that. Any of the others. Oh,
apart from Michael.
Yeah,
right.
Ben. Well, Andrew Nicholson, Avery were four faults and two time faults earlier in this final session of the Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials, and now he's on his way.
Nereo, good children from that?
You know, yes, he is. But, you know, we'll see.
He had a lot to say.
Yeah.
Is he a good show jumper? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
And Nero's stride is so long.
I have no idea. That means I have no idea.
Struggle and get running.
That's me.
Coming to three, and he's over that after the double.
Yeah, we would.
And
forward in there.
Oh, first part with the bastard. Straight in. Oh, dear.
Did he just say that on the air?
Yeah.
It looked like it was just about to bounce back
out.
Didn't it? Somehow the show jumping gods were with Andrew Nicholson at that moment.
So up the fence six, over the water trail to find, just coming into the treble.
Clear so far.
Through the third.
Trotted almost there behind.
Yeah. Now, this is the bit that you think might catch him out, Matt, the 8 to 9.
He's just got to make sure he keeps the horse short. He doesn't want to see a flyer through here. Now, steady.
Wind's picking up. He did keep it together.
Fence 10, the Mitsubishi Motors fence, and does that fine. Now, turning round to the last double.
Looking good. He's going to make the time.
Time is tight.
Andrew's working hard.
So he's clear. One jump left.
I think he's all right in terms of time. Comes to this final fence.
Yeah, he's done it. There he
goes. Shaking a hand to say, "Whoa, we got there." But he's on.
I was going to say, these guys forget that they're doing radio sometimes. I think.
Yeah, but double clear for Andrew Nicholson for those who did not pick it up from the 19 British people that are sitting in the booth calling show jumping. Good Lord. Is he a good show jumper? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
That's
no idea. He's from New Zealand. What do we care?
Andrew Nicholson stays on with 40.2 penalties. He is now in the lead. Three people left to jump. William Fox Pitt is coming up now. We have to listen to this. I mean,
right.
My gosh.
We'll listen through the end here. We have time before our first guest.
Silly.
No, and there he goes, Andrew. With a job well done, 40.2.
So we'll have William Fox Pitt on Park Lane Hawk next, and he is sitting one rail off winning this thing. So he really needs to go clear here. If he bumps a rail, he doesn't have a chance to be in the top probably four.
Well, and of course, he is in the running for the Rolex Grand Slam, $350,000 if he wins. This event.
One down for these next three. Two from Sam.
Here we go.
We see a lot of riders who come in straight away. They're ready to go. I think that was a deliberate tactic on William's part to just wait for the sort of noise and the crowd to die down, and then everyone to calm down. And he's brought in Park Lane Hawk now. Goes over and it salutes to the Royal Box. And now he's obviously had the chance to go around here earlier in the day when he rode his other horse, Oslo, and had a good run.
That's something we don't get to do, salute the Royal Box.
Oh, yeah, he's going there now.
Is he?
Yeah.
There he goes.
Oh, he's not going to make the mistake.
Okay.
No.
Absolutely. Yep.
You see, there is a shade right near it.
Just here.
In front of the...
What are you talking about?
You're coming jumping it way. There is a little...
Come on, William.
Right.
So I can watch it.
He's on 40.
Shade.
On he goes with Park Lane Hawk to the first fence. He's jumped it. He's a... feel it. Everyone staring down, hoping that he can go clear.
Bounded over the second fence impressively. Really got up in there.
Don't say that.
Right.
Don't curse him.
Well, he's
not cursing.
Over fence three. Does that now to the double. Keep calm, boys and girls. Here comes the end of the double. Nicely through that.
Jump out. Really nice.
Are you on pins and needles?
Swing round to the left.
Yeah.
Fence five. Big triple. And again over that. Now to the fence in a diagonal across the arena that includes the water track. Oh, a little slow over that.
Nope.
Now to the combination. Through it.
Oh, no!
The final part is down. The Rolex Grand Slam's not going to be William Fox. And that is handed really the initiative. Not only always had to check as I coming out of eight, but what happened there, Matt?
I don't know.
It looked like me that he's pressing a little bit, but well, he was trying to contain the horse through the treble and just held on a little bit too much.
Oh, that'll put him like in seventh or eighth.
Followed a bit as he came out over that last element.
Well, so at the moment, Andrew Nicholson is in position one with the Grand Slam in mind, but still two riders to go. William coming through to the last, and he's over his
pace.
So what that means is that is Jonathan Padgett and Michael Young have yet to go yet. If they both take a rail, then Andrew Nicholson wins the Grand Slam, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, let me check the scores, see where they are. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to bet that one of these guys is going to win.
He had a good shot. He just held, but just in front.
By the way, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. We're just picking up the badminton feed from England. They're at the final two jumps now for badminton to see who wins. And, boy, Michael Young and Sam, they just do stadiums so well. I've seen them do it, and they just do it so well. I'd be shocked if they had a rail down.
Okay, Michael Young can actually have one rail down and still win. He'll be 0.2 penalties still ahead of Andrew Nicholson. So he needs maybe a rail and some time, which doesn't look good.
It's the community sitting next to me who fully understand what's going on.
All right, I've got Jock Padgett. Let's see if he can put the pressure on.
Well, okay, Jonathan Padgett.
He's got to get clear, because then he really will hand the initiative to Michael Young, because then he can afford to have a fence down.
Yeah, I know, but I wonder how much money maybe Andrew's paid his mates from Kiwiland.
No, I'll tell you what, this is, having heard him this morning, this guy wants to win.
Yeah.
But this horse had a problem in the trot-up, had to be shown again, and it was a little bit of tension in the air when he was shown again, had to go to the box, but eventually was cleared. But that definitely added a...
I reckon he's made a naive mistake already.
Oh, I know you're saying
not
that.
Not gone around behind fence one.
But he's jumped.
He's jumped.
And Jonathan did say as well that he never jumped the queue around at 3 days.
What a time to do it.
Well, we're only teachers, then we're going to have to go and get those shoulders back.
Yeah.
I remember the last winner of badminton was a Kiwi, the most famous one of all, Mark Todd, 2 years ago on Land Vision. And he's into the double, and he's through.
Ooh, came out lovely over that second element.
Now to five. And again, he's nicely over that.
All seems to be really coming off the ground.
Yeah, not bad, actually. Horse trying hard. It's obviously not the best jumper we've seen today, but the horse
final
is
part
trying.
Of the combination, he's through that.
Yeah, good.
Neat horse. Quite the promise. Neat horse on that.
Jump clear.
Yeah.
He's got a good enough jump that he should be able to jump clear.
I'll give you 50 grand if you knock a rail down. 50 grand to you, Michael Young.
Someone's just got to hold his nerve.
Yep. The three more jumping efforts between him and a clear round.
That'll really put the pressure on Michael Young. He can't have a rail down.
Come on.
Andrew Nicholson, but here comes the final fence. No rail down, but a perfect round from Jonathan Padgett. Means that Michael Young can't afford to have a fence done.
Oh, getting exciting.
Jock has done it and has gone clear. What a time to reduce a first.
So now Michael Young will be the last one to go on Sam, and he needs to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. He
has a rail in hand. Oh, yeah, he does need to be clear.
No, he needs to be clear.
I have to say, the way he's been talking
all
week, he's had...
Grand Slam winner this year is what we're hearing.
Yep, no Grand Slam, just like no Triple Crown. That is so hard to get. It's so hard to get. And the Grand Slam is they have to win Rolex here in the United States, they have to win badminton, and they have to win Burley, both over in England. Right? I got that right?
You did, but you have to win them in order. Like, you have to win them one after another after another. You can't win one year and one 2 years later. Has to be in order. So, yes. Yeah. Jock Padgett goes clear. He will win if Michael Young has a rail down. And no Grand Slam winner.
He's just ambling, walking up to the arena, and then gently moves into a little canter to come into the arena. This brilliant combination who just seemed to be...
By the way, during the press interview after Cross Country, he attributed he said, "My horse can fly. He's like a unicorn, and I use unicorn dust on him. The more I need him to fly."
Okay, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up.
straight away.
Here we go.
He salutes back towards over his left shoulder, back to the royal box, and now the buzzer sounds, and now the...
He didn't go all the way into that corner.
He's been into the arena already this morning, mm-hmm. so he's seen it, but this horse he seems to have so much faith in, doesn't he?
Mm.
Quite rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely, quite rightly so. The odds are that, you know, he will leave everything up. Let's see.
Well, he's over that first fence, just very calm. He can have the odd time fault as well, so there's...
He can't have a fence, though, can
he? No, that's the only thing he can't do.
Well, he can't have a fence over Jonathan... over Jonathan Padgett. And if he can have a fence over the others, but not a time fault.
No,
yeah.
Exactly. Andrew Nicholson.
Well, Nicholson can't win.
No.
Anyway.
So it's all about Jonathan Padgett and Michael Young through the first double, and again...
But if Michael has a rail and one time fault, no. then Andrew will come up for second.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yep, over five.
Isn't Andrew on
40.2?
40.2. Yeah.
So quit arguing about that. Tell us what's happening.
Michael gets five penalties and makes him 41.
Into the treble and out of the last part of the combination.
Yeah, I jumped that.
Beautifully clear.
Not looking like he should have a rail down.
Has he touched anything? No, I don't think he has.
That's a much better turn. His first horse, he
yeah.
came clear
through
much
seven.
High.
Right. And really good shot down there. Yeah.
Much better.
Thank you.
So calm.
Four jumping efforts left. Fence 10 clear. That's a Mitsubishi upright.
Time looks
three
okay.
jumping efforts left.
Time looks as long as
tight ish.
Ish
should be okay.
Here he comes.
11A is fine.
And
11B
is
fine.
This is
just the last
that's
jump.
Fence.
Coming to it now.
Oh, and he flies it.
Oh!
It
cannot
what?
Believe it. What drama? The
what?
Winner is Jonathan Padgett.
What? He dropped one?
He took the last rail down. Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. The last fence down for
oh
Michael
my
Young.
Oh, my God.
Jock Padgett
sure
is
what happened
winner.
There.
Wow. Worst announcing ever. But Jock Padgett is the winner on Clifton Promise. Michael Young, the what do they call him? He's like got ice in his veins. He
oh.
takes the last fence down in badminton.
Oh my God.
To come
I can't wait to see that
second.
On video. I can't. Oh, jeez. Although you couldn't tell it by what the announcers. We got to apply next year. Jeez, you're on
yeah.
radio. Tell us what's happening.
Wow. Worst announcers ever. Fantastic. Jock Padgett and Clifton Promise. OTTB Baby has won badminton. Congratulations to them and everybody. I am so bummed that we did not get a Rolex Grand Slam winner, but you know, what the heck? Maybe next year.
what a neat guy, though. He is a neat guy, and what a nice guy. You'll hear that if you watch anything of the press conference that'll happen with Jonathan. He's just a super nice guy. And
well,
he's good-looking, too. You like him. He qualifies
yeah.
him a good-looking
He's
person.
Hot.
Yeah.
He's way
yeah.
hot. No, but Michael Young's his unicorn dust did not work today.
No, apparently no unicorn dust today. I just thought it was a whole bizarre press conference. I tried to get the sound off of it, but it was too quiet. I couldn't. It was just funny. So now who? So does that move Andrew up to second? Or yes, I think it. No, or did Michael stay in second?
Let me get the final scores here for you. Give me a second. See where everybody's sitting. I don't know. We'll get it all organized and put it together. But all we know
yeah.
is that wow, the Olympic champion did not win badminton this year. Holy cow, that is an upset of upsets. And I would like to point out that for those of us who typically always snuck the last rail down in show jumping, I would like to. I feel better about myself knowing that Michael Young can do it too. and William Bucks Pitts, there you go.
Wow. Oh, that's a few dollars between first and second there that Michael just passed up on one
yes.
rail. The last rail. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
And
well, thanks,
they
guys,
said
for
they had
sitting with us. Huh?
They said they had record crowds there at badminton this weekend. And, of course, badminton was canceled last year because of the rain, and they had absolutely beautiful weather this year. And they took in record crowds. They said it was unbelievable the number of people that were there. And they get, you know, we talk about Rolex here as our four star in Kentucky, which has happened 2 weeks ago. And we think, you know, on a good cross-country day, they'll get 40,000 to 50,000 people. They get 100,000 to 120,000 at badminton.
From what I understand, going to badminton was fantastic. nobody could get out. Everybody was stuck in traffic for hours trying to get out of badminton because it was so packed and everybody left at the same time. So it was mass chaos, apparently.
Well, they had these tiny little roads in England, so you got all those people trying to get out onto the little roads to get to the highway. Because these are all at these big fancy houses that are in the middle of the country, you know. So they have these tiny little roads getting to them. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah.
So Samantha Clark, who I talked about earlier, we covered Jonathan a good bit on the 2010 radio show. She just tweeted, "Fan bloody tastic result for Jock and Clifton eventing. What a ride throughout the event." So there you go. Samantha's happy.
Wow. Okay, so let's see. No, second place. I'm trying to get the final. Let me click the final results here, and then we'll be able to move on a little bit. But, man, what a nail-biter. So Clifton Promise and Jock Pageant from New Zealand finish in first. Sam and Michael Young finish in second. Andrew Nicholson and Nero finish in third. Sandra Offarth from Germany finishes in fourth. William Fox Pitt, because of that one rail, dropped from third to fifth. But still, top five is fantastic. And then who's all the way down? Some Italian riders, Ireland. Let's see, Australia. Tiana Coudray, the top-placed American rider, because of her show jumping, went from 10th to 17th.
Oof.
For those who wanted to know where
the
Mary
money,
King
though.
Was, 17 is in the money. Yeah, you get a little bit. Here you go. Here's $100. Go buy yourself something nice. Mary King, who was the pick for our friend from Horse and Country TV, actually finished in 13th on Imperial Cavalier. So she had a pretty good day as well. Christina Cook finished in 18th. And then, let's see, another U.S. rider, Clark Montgomery, finished in 27th. I'm looking for any U.S. riders here.
Can I throw in here, Clark Montgomery actually was lucky to get in. He was on the reserve list. And Jess Montgomery, his wife, is the co-host of the Eventing Radio Show. So I'm sure on the Eventing Radio Show, you're going to hear all about his run over there.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Colleen Rutledge and Shiraz finished, and I think they were way down the list. Let's see, they were 57th. But Colleen Rutledge and Shiraz are the only pair of horse rider team that has completed five in the whole world. So they completed it. That's all they wanted to do. Colleen Rutledge has done 5 4-stars all over the world.
Wow. She did it. That was
with
her goal.
The same horse. Yeah, that was her goal.
Horse,
so
right.
She did it. It was amazing. So, and let's see. Any other exciting news that we get, we will bring it straight to you. So there you go.
Very good. Well, we are going to be covering a wrap-up of the Kentucky Derby. We're hoping that Frankie Lovato can join us again at 10 o'clock, and we're hoping he drank the same thing for breakfast that he had on Friday because he was hilarious. We'll be providing more coverage of that. But right now, Jamie, we have Dr. Gordon Chang ready for us from Omega Alpha Equine.
Well, Dr. Gordon Chang from Omega Alpha Equine, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. And happy Monday to you all.
Thank you. Happy Monday to you, too. Where in the world are we talking to you from? Usually you're in a different place every time.
Oh, no, I'm in Toronto this time. Not
okay.
All over the place. I'm home. I'm at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Home in Toronto. Sounds
yes.
good. Well, tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Today?
Because in the news is founder and laminitis, and you're going to talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about founder and laminitis, just because, it's that time of the year. It's springtime. And
yeah.
That's when you see a high incidence of laminitis. And founder. Now, normally founder and laminitis, the words are used interchangeably, but strictly technically speaking, founder is a much more serious case of laminitis. That's the case when the lamina is broken down and the pedal bone or the coffin bone goes all the way down to the sole, then they call it founder, and then it's extremely painful, etc. I don't know if most people know how how the foot is made up in the horse, because people talk about lamina, but they don't. In my mind, I don't think a lot of people know how exactly it fits.
Uh-huh.
The analogy I like to use for that, with if the coffin bone or the pedal bone sits on top of a whole bunch of these things called lamina. These lamina, the analogy I'll use is like if you have a hammock, right? The bone is the person who's sitting in the hammock, right? The hammock is your lamina. Think of many layers of hammock, and each hammock then is attached to the side wall of the hoof. During laminitis, all right, what happens is there's inflammation, and what then the lamina becomes swollen, or and so on, and in extreme cases, the coffin bone goes right through all of the lamina. So basically, they go. You are the person. You're basically going all the way through the hammock. The hammock can't hold you anymore. Sorry.
I try to explain it, like I was just explaining it to my husband the other day and trying to do it in a very easy way. I'm like, you've got the hoof, and then inside the hoof is a little mini hoof, which is the coffin bone. And I said, and everything that attaches are like little fingers, and if those fingers get swollen, it won't hold up that little mini hoof, and that little mini hoof starts to rotate downward.
That's right.
And swing down, yep. And then it becomes hard to walk.
Yeah, but people don't realize that what the lamina does, because of it, like the hammock, it's a cushion. So when the horse comes down on its feet, it doesn't send shock waves all the way up its leg. So that lamina is very important. So when that gets swollen, right, that is the cause of a lot of pain. Now, there are many different reasons why horses get laminitis. One of the major ones right now in the spring is excess lush grass that you put your horse on. Because it's spring, you have a lot of fresh grass out there, you have a lot of horses getting into the fresh grass, system is not used to all this fresh grass, and you get a case of laminitis. Now, the reason for that is some researchers believe is that the horses, when they eat all this sugar, the grass has a lot of sugars in it, and their system is not used to all the sugar. So what happens, all the sugar comes in, the good old bacteria in the cecum and in the gut has a field day. And as a result, these bacteria now start producing all sorts of toxins, endotoxins, right, waste products. That bacteria do what they do, and it overloads the horse's system. And so one of the results of that is that you get an inflammation in the lamina, and that can be extremely painful. Now, the treatment of choice, no matter what the cause of the laminitis or the founder, there is always inflammation in the lamina. So the treatment of choice has always been anti-inflammatories, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. In serious cases, I mean, you know, like your butazone and your banamines, etc. Now, the problem with butazone and banamine, long-term, you can't have that much because it upsets your stomach. So you either pay for the foot or you pay for it through the stomach. All right? So
yeah,
what...
I have a horse, Dr. Chang, the one that you guys have worked on a lot with a lot of your products, with his digestive upsets that he has. You give him he can't have butte. He's had such bad ulcers that you give him 2 grams of butte for something, and it comes right back. You know, he just can't take butte because his digestive system, I'm talking about Jet, of course, is so messed up and so scarred that anytime he gets butte, it upsets his stomach. So I'm assuming that you have something better than that.
Yes, we have a product called Antiflam. And we have had very good successes with this particular product. We have used it on horses which have had founder and laminitis, and we have gotten fantastic results with it. And the best part about this particular product, it does not affect the stomach. That's the key. You don't get the same issues that you have with the stomach that you'd have with the butazone and the banamines, right? That is why this one works really, really well.
Now, is this anti-SLAM, obviously mm-hmm. an anti-kind of inflammation type name to the product, does it work on other parts of the body too, or is it pretty much strictly go straight to the feet?
Well, we target it for the feet, but we have had mm-hmm. a lot of people use it for other types of sore joints, inflammation, and they've gotten really good results. It's a general anti-inflammatory, but it particularly does very well with the feet. We've had a lot of people use it. In our own studies, we've seen a lot of clinicals. We've seen a lot of good results with it. All right?
Okay.
Anyway, so go ahead.
How is it given when you know your horse is getting a little bit of founder laminitis? How do you fix it?
Well, what we suggest people do is to use start off with 60 cc's or 60 ml orally, syringe directly into the mouth, or failing that, top dress to feed. But we like to make sure they get it, so we put 60 cc's. And in some cases, you may even have to go up to 90 and do that loading dose for about a week, right? And then people see results fairly quickly. And then afterwards, you can come down to a maintenance level of about between 30 to 60 cc's, depending on the severity of it, all right? And with that, you maintain it until you see the founder or the laminitis correct itself, right? Now, that is just one of the steps you have to do to treat founder and laminitis. I mean, of course, you got to take the horse off the rich grass, put him on regular hay, right, Timothy hay. You got to take him to the farrier because in some cases you can do corrective shoeing to help with the founder and the laminitis, right? All those things help, right?
Wow. Okay. Gotcha. Now, so it's not just the one thing, but it certainly does help to get the anti-flam as soon as possible.
Definitely. Right. And as I said, we've had really good success with it. Now, what we have, I'm going to make an offer today to all of the U.S. listeners. We have a free bottle of a free quart of anti-flam, which normally retails for $49.95. All they have to do is to pay the shipping and handling, which is $12, and all they have to do is send an email on the heading, put HRN, Horse Radio Network Anti-Flam Offer, and email it to csmith@omegaalpha.ca. csmith@omegaalpha.ca. And you'll
Jennifer, I want to make sure my producer's writing this down simply because we're going to post it on Facebook, and I would like it after the show so I can send it off because we have a pony and we have, I think it would just, it's probably a great product to have on hand, especially with this spring grass here.
For sure. Right. And it's valid for today only, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Yes, so we want to get all the quick people in there, all right? So while supplies last, so
okay,
send
say
it
the
off
email
as quickly
one,
as possible.
Say the email
one
more time.
csmith, C-S-M-I-T-H, at Omega Alpha, one word, O-M-E-G-A-A-L-P-H-A dot C-A. And
Omega
put
Alpha
on the header, HRN, anti-flam offer.
Perfect. Wow, that is incredibly kind of you to give our listeners a free bottle, basically. Just pay shipping and handling. That's amazing.
$12 shipping and handling.
You can't get anything for your horse for $12 anymore.
For sure.
So this is awesome. All right, fantastic. Well, we appreciate that. Now tell us a little bit, before we let you go, you guys are doing some educational seminars. Is that correct?
That is correct. Now, the information...
Do you know about it? Or do you need me to tell you?
You better tell me. It is on the website.
It is on the website. Go to omegaalphaequine.com and you can click on the educational section. And you guys are doing professionals, free education series for coaches, trainers, and athletes. And you've got you got a vet in there and talking about, I guess you're going to be doing all sorts of different things, but how the horse's health is a primary concern, and training seminars from, natural supplementation for immune health, hormone health, another one in March, detoxification, all the way to the end of the year. You got one at least almost every month, and energy levels, parasites, all the different stuff you can find on omegaalphaequine.com. Go to educational performance, and you will see it, the educational section. This is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you can, Dr. Chang, if you don't know, they don't even have to be there. They can do it all online.
They can do it strictly online and by conference call.
Conference call or online, so you can do either one. Check that out. And they've got webinars for all sorts of different things that you can go on and watch as well. And you can actually see photos of the beautiful and lovely Dr. Chang on their website.
I wouldn't know about that part.
All right, Dr. Chang, did you pick the winner of the Kentucky Derby? Did you win any money?
I wish I did, but no, I didn't.
Just check.
Unfortunately, you know, it's a roll of the dice, and most of the times I'm not that good with the roll of the dice.
Yeah, we didn't do so well either. So.
I was just going to ask, do they show the Kentucky Derby in Canada? Do they have that?
Oh, I'm sure they showed it. I just didn't see it, but I'm sure it was on.
gotcha. Well, Dr. Gordon Chang, thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you again next month. And again, thank you so much. Big hugs to you for being a sponsor of Monday's show.
Thank you. It's all a pleasure.
All right. Bye, Dr. Chang.
Bye-bye now.
All right. So Jennifer will post that on Facebook, and that was a lot to remember when you're doing other things. She'll post that on Facebook. Apparently, that offer was for today only, so get it in.
Yeah, that's incredibly sweet. Let's flood them with it so they know that we do have listeners and that we've got a lot of people that are sitting here going, listening to Dr. Chang, and that their money is well spent on Mondays, Omega Alphas, because we can't do it without our sponsors, and we do appreciate it.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to have a 2-4 today as far as songs go. We have Templeton Thompson. We're going to do two of her songs. And then we're going to be back. Hopefully, Frankie will be joining us. He said there's a 90% chance he'll be here. Is that like a 90% chance the horse you picked is going to win the Derby? I don't know. But
what are the odds on that? Is that 4-5? Is that what we're giving him?
I guess. My guess is he'll try and show up if he can, and hopefully we can talk to him. And we'll do our Kentucky Derby wrap-up at when we get back from the songs. So this is Templeton Thompson.
So you've been on the trail a good while. But you don't let it show. You set your eyes on the miles left to go. You're tall in the saddle. You keep your head high and your heart just keep your head high. Getting on dark, but you got
That's Templeton Thompson. When I get where I'm going. Thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jennifer is over in the producer chair as well. Today's show is sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, Jamie, we, of course, had a little race over the weekend, didn't we?
We sure did. I'm sort of trying to remember the name of it. Ha! There's no way around it. The Kentucky Derby was this past weekend, and my gosh, what a fantastic race. Now, we all had made our own picks individually, and none of us came close because when you watch the race, and we should listen to it, the group that went out in the front were the clean ones. They're out front. They're not covered in mud. By the end of the race, all the clean ones are in the back and all the muddy ones are in the front. They just went out and blistered the times all the way through the first at least three quarters of the race, and then they all shut down as they typically do when they go that fast. The fractions were way too fast. They all ended up at the back of the pack. And you just could not – the horse Orb, who won, has been the pick for every outstanding, every handicapper, every professional that we've talked to has picked Orb. And the reason that everybody's picked him is because he's been training like a monster. He's been going out, they track their working times, and his times have been the fastest by any stretch at the certain distances when they clock everybody. His times have been the fastest. So, I mean, clearly he's the fastest horse out there. And if he was to have the perfect trip, well, then, of course, he's going to win. But you have 19 horses in a field. You've got the mud. You've got the slop. You've got the drama. You've got the excitement. And you've got you just never know. But, my gosh, Joel, his jockey, Joel Rosario, rode him absolutely perfect, laying him back in the spot he was supposed to, keeping him a little bit wide, bringing him up at the right time, and then letting him go at the right time. It was just a fantastic trip. I think we should listen to it, Glenn.
All right, let's take a listen.
Whose name appears at the top of chapter 139? We find out in 2 minutes. Vijack moves forward. They're in the gate. And they're off in Derby 139. And Orb was just given a nudge as he let them go. And Jarvis War was very slow to begin. And My Loot also just missed the kick. And Revolutionary has been taken back in the early stages by Calvin Burrell. Falling Sky towards the outside of It's My Lucky Day. And Golden Sense and Palace Malice. And Verrazano is also trying to flash early speed towards the outside of the leading group. They go now past the wire with a circuit to go in the Kentucky Derby. And it is Palace Malice who leads. Golden Sense racing in second. Oxbow towards the inside in third. Verrazano is in fourth. Vijack is in fifth. It's My Lucky Day is in sixth. Falling Sky in seventh. In eighth position on the inside, Normandy Invasion. Followed then in ninth by Giant Finish. A break then to the 10th horse, who is Will Take Charge. 11th is Frack Daddy. And then towards the inside, races Charming Kitten. After Charming Kitten is overanalyzed, has already been ridden along, then Lines of Battle. Towards the inside next, races Golden Soul. Then Orb, who's only got three behind. My Loot is towards the rear. Revolutionary is last but one. Absolute last is Jarvis War. The half in 45 and one. Half a mile to go in Derby 139. And as they go out of the back stretch, it's Palace Malice who still has the lead to Oxbow Racing in second. Verrazano in third, making the turn in fourth, Normandy Invasion. Golden Sense now backs out of it in fifth, trying to come on in sixth. It's My Lucky Day. Vijack is already beating a retreat as they now begin to swing the corner. Just over a quarter of a mile to go in the Kentucky Derby as they come down the lane. And as they do so, it's Normandy Invasion with Oxbow on the inside, Palace Malice and Verrazano. Orb is now beginning to fly down the wide outside, and so too is My Loot. They're racing down towards the final furlong, Normandy Invasion. But here is Orb on the outside. Orb and Joel Rosario take the lead with a 16th of a mile to go in the Kentucky Derby. Orb is out in front. Jarvis War is absolutely flying. In fact, it's Golden Soul, but it is Orb to win the Derby. Orb wins the Derby. Golden Soul in second, Revolutionary, and then Normandy Invasion, My Loot and Oxbow. But it was Orb for Shug McGee and Joel Rosario who won Derby 139.
Now, we are going, what an unbelievably exciting race, and we're going to get to Frankie Lovato in a second, but I would like to point out, first, Shug McGahee, we got to talk about him. What a Kentucky character he is. And then you've got everybody involved with it, but I would like to point out that Palace Malice was a Todd Pletcher trained horse. And Pletcher even said he went too fast early and can't maintain that tempo. I don't want to hate. Is Frankie on here? Frankie, are you here?
I'm here, Jamie. Hello.
Can you tell us who rode Palace Malice?
Oh, I don't even remember that bum. No, that was my man, Mike Smith.
That was your man, Mike Smith. I swear I'm so mad at him. Still, the whole Zenyatta debacle. But, yes, but what was going on in his brain when they can time these fractions in their head. Do you think the horse ran away? Why did he go out so far?
Yeah, he did. He did. Mike said he broke and he was, like, settling in, and then he got bumped from both sides. He had horses collar him right there past the finish line for the first time. And this was also this horse's first time blinkers, which is not it's not the best plan. Changing equipment for the first time in a field of 19 in the slop. And this horse just took off with Mike. And he said in an interview that if he pulled on him any harder, he'd have just been swinging on him. And in a case like that, you're either way, you can't. It's a lose-lose situation. You start fighting with the horse and start swinging their head around, just trying to get them to relax. They're never going to relax, and it's such a long way to go. After that first half mile, it was just kind of Mike. It was already kind of like, oh man, this is just a bad deal. You know, and there's nothing you could do to change it at that point.
Yeah, well, a lot of horses seem to kind of challenge him and follow up with that, too. I mean, I guess a lot of them got bumped at the gate, whatever. no, I mean, you got to think, a horse is a dang runaway if Mike Smith can't stop him.
Yes. Yes.
That's
yeah, Mike is very good at that, getting horses to settle and relax. Typically a field of, when you don't have that many horses, you can get maybe a length or two lead and then slow them down. But instead of like maybe one or two possibly collaring, you got like five chasing you. So it gets you into the position where there's no chance. The only thing that would have made it better for him is if someone else would have just initiated the lead, and maybe he could have got his horse to settle once he was able to get him off of a horse. But since he was the one that had his head in front and he got kind of bumped and chased behind, his horse just freaked and accelerated and just burned himself out.
So talk to us about the eventual winner and the trip that Orb had. To me, in a field of where everything can go wrong, Joel just gave him the perfect trip.
I mean, it really sorted out perfect for him, and Joel had the horse to do it. So fast fractions, I mean, they were flying, and then we had Verrazano that was chasing the speed. That was on a track that he didn't look very comfortable. Then you have Orb settled in behind all the riff-raff, so to say, and where he just picked up the pieces and he had the ability to do it. And then to finish down the lane like he did, it was, hats off to all of them, connections and especially the horse.
Now, how difficult, former jockey, is it to run when you're getting pelted in the face constantly by clods of mud?
There's, especially in a slop, it's hard to find a place that you can avoid it. But sometimes you can, like, tailgate somebody and just like, off their flank a little bit and where you can kind of let your horses clear their eyes and get it out of their face for at least some point of the race. Which in Orb's case, I mean, there was a lot of horses, but I think he got himself in a spot where he was comfortable and wasn't constantly pelted by the slop coming back and hitting them in the face. And people don't realize, I mean, it's amazing what horses can put up with, and they deal with it amazingly, but it is something. I mean, as a jockey, you get pounded. It's mud, dirt, slop, all that stuff fires back at you, and it doesn't tickle.
How do you do it? I mean, I was thinking about that the other day when we see how awful that track was, and you've got six pairs of goggles on, you've got a whip in your hand, you've got reins in your hand, and you're having to pull goggles down while riding and try and keep track of where you are and not kill yourself. It's got to be tough.
It takes practice. It's not for everybody. But, you know, that's why these guys are at the level they are. And you know, and any rider, I mean, there's a lot of great jockeys. Anybody that gets to the point where they can ride races, they obviously have to be able to accomplish those skills because you can't afford not to. I mean, you have to be able to take on whatever's given to you, and that's managing your goggles with everything
else.
You know
what? Frank, it's so funny you say that. I was telling my husband this the other day. He was asking about it. So I galloped horses at Keeneland for a year or two when I was a lot younger and spryer and dumber. And the first time I ever breezed a horse, the guy that I was breezing with gave me a pair of goggles. And I'm like, I don't need these. There's no mud. He's like, oh, no, you're going to want them. So I put them on top of my helmet, and I felt all cool because I'm going down to the track with, like, a pair of racing goggles on my head, and I just thought I was the coolest thing in the world, and I'm riding this thoroughbred down to the track. We get out on the track and go around the backside, and then we came to the point where we were supposed to let them go and open up. I had forgotten to put the goggles on because I was so cool. I had them on my helmet. Well, let me tell you something, people. Stick your head out of a car at 35 miles an hour and see how much you can see. You can't see even if there's no mud. You need goggles on. I mean, the tears streaming in the back of my face, it was all I could do to just kind of stay next to the horse that was gallop-breezing with me. It was such a disaster. I think my ponytail fell out. By the time I got done, I had hair hanging everywhere. I got tears running down my face. Snot is running into my shirt. That was my first breeze, and I'll never forget it. I don't think I got much better after that, but the point is, the respect that I have for jockeys just managing goggles, much less the reins, the horses, the race, 19 horses in the field, it's just absolutely crazy. You guys are, I mean, just the athletes of athletes.
Well, thank you. And Jamie, you're right. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to do this thing. My parents had a car with a sunroof, and I used to put my helmet and goggles on. I was like 10 years old and stick my head out the moonroof and tell my dad, okay, now go like 35, 40 miles an hour. And you cannot believe how fast that is. When you're in a car, you know, it's like you're poking along. But put yourself out there on the thing, and imagine being on top of a horse, and you're flying.
Try to breathe. I mean, it's just even hard to breathe without the and then you're working so hard. Yeah, it is definitely something that. And again, Glenn, I recommend that you and Jennifer do this to each other after the show. Get in the car, stick your head off the top like Glory, your dog, and see what happens. It's a little bit challenging.
Yeah, watch out for bugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Frankie, I think you picked Orb, didn't you? We were trying to remember. Didn't you pick Orb on Friday?
I think I did. I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you did, too. You're the only one, by the way. You're the big winner here on Horses in the Morning.
What do I win? I forget. It's a new car, right?
Our undying loyalty and love. That's what you get.
That's good enough for me.
Now, tell us, was there anything that surprised you in the race? Were you expecting, was there something that jumped out at you?
No, and you can't. When a race with that many horses and then you deal with the track condition and the weather, there's no surprises. There's just anything can happen. I thought that the race was fantastic, and everybody, it was a fair, safe run. Some horses obviously didn't handle the going or the traffic or the pace. that doesn't mean it's going to make the Preakness very interesting because – there's going to be horses that have legitimate excuses that are going to come back for the Preakness. I think Orb is the one that's really shown the consistency to this point, though. And he, you know, we'll see. But I definitely think that he looks very good going into the Preakness as long as he stays as happy and healthy as he was for the Derby.
Well, he sure came off it. Didn't he finish the Derby looking good? I mean, I saw some video of him afterwards, and he's like, oh, it's like nothing happened.
Exactly. And then there were some shots from HRTV that when he was back in his stall that evening and then the next morning, and he's eating his hay, he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and you wouldn't even know he'd run, where some horses, especially going a mile and a quarter, I mean, they could be tired, they'd be hanging their head, they'll be unsociable, where this horse, his head was out the stall, and he was like, hey, here I am, what do we do now?
I am a big deal. I am awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am Orb.
Exactly, I am Orb. And let's talk a little bit about Shug McGahey, because a Kentucky trainer who had trained one of my favorite horses of all time, Easy Goer, and had that horse and finished in second place. He's been in the business forever. He's already in the Hall of Fame, got his first Derby win, and the guy, if he was super excited, he was hiding it very well.
That's Shug. He's, you know, I've got some history with Shug. I'm very proud to say that I was one of his jockeys when he first came to New York. I rode his first stakes winner for him in New York. And also when he took over the Phipps stable, which was co-owners of Orb, which is the Phipps and Janie's, that I won their first race. As I was their jockey, that the connections that won their first race together. So I was very, very happy for Shug and well-deserved.
And, you know, there's another story there, too, is the Phipps, who obviously are racing legends in themselves. This was their first Kentucky Derby win. And the Phipps, for those that don't know, are come from really old money. They're the Vanderbilt and the Whitney family. So, but they, you know, they've been around racing forever. You've, I'm sure, ridden their horses many times.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very proud to say, as you mentioned, you know, I rode for the Phipps even before Shook took over. Back when a trainer named Angel Penna Sr. used to train for them, and I was very fortunate to be able to ride for them and wear those colors, which were the black and the cherry cherry collars and sleeves, and anytime you rode for them, it was a privilege. And but when Shook took over, it was like, wow, the perfect fit. And this is going back to the mid-'80s. I believe it was like 1985.
Well, question for you, because I never quite got it clear. The owner of Orb, I'm just going to go back to the movie. The movie Secretariat, because
yes.
That obviously was exactly how it happened. Secretariat, they go to do the coin toss, and Ogden Phipps and Penny Chenery did the coin toss. He chose the other horse while she ended up with Secretariat. And now Ogden Phipps is the name, but it seems like there's a whole line of Ogden Phipps. So in the scheme of things, the owner of Orb, was that Ogden Phipps, or was that like a nephew or a, do you know the family line here?
Well, I know enough to kind of clarify it. There was Ogden Mills Phipps and Ogden Phipps II, I think it was, the father's son, but they almost look identical, but the father passed away. That was
from the movie.
Yeah, who was in the room? It was the father. I'm 90% sure. And the other, like the Janies and the Phipps and the Hancocks, they are like the, well, I don't know if this is proper, and you'll never have me on again. But the Blue Bloods, the guys that the money behind the game, the breeders that have been a part of thoroughbred horse racing for generations. And a really big part with Claiborne Farm and, I'm blanking out here, but the folks that...
You can say Blue Bloods when you have Whitney and Vanderbilt money.
yeah.
You can
say
that.
Yeah. The class acts of history of racing, the people invested millions of dollars and they bred the best sires to their best mares, and it was, it was a true passion for these people with this money to keep investing into the game and for as long as they have. So to win their first Derby, bottom line, you know, it just goes to show you it doesn't matter how much money you got. You've got to be lucky, and they've earned it. They've put so much into the game.
My gosh, to just imagine how much money they've spent in the first Derby win for the Phipps family. Holy cow. They must be so mad when a horse like the one that drove in a two-horse trailer from New Mexico comes in there and wins the dang race. You're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
That's the beauty of the sport, though. You know, it's stories like that and that you know, there's no one privileged other than, you know, there's no one that, you know, you've just got to be lucky. You could invest everything into this, and you've just got to be lucky on top of it. And it just goes to show you.
I'll tell you, after seeing this horse run, and my husband is like, he picked Orb because he's like, I like that Shug guy. That guy's cool. he's just such a great character in the sport of horse racing. I'm an Orb fan, and I'm hoping he goes all the way. I can't say that about every horse every year, but this year I am hoping he goes all the way and we have a Triple Crown winner. If he comes out of this looking as good as he is, what do you think his chances are for the Preakness?
I think very good. For him to come out of that race, and if you saw him the next morning, like I said, he was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You wouldn't even have known he'd run. That, you know, you got to hold it all together. And we've seen in the past, gosh, how many, 33 years, whatever, 35 years, I can't even count. We've had horses with Triple Crown look like they could not lose the Belmont, and they have. So it's tough. It is tough.
Yeah.
Can we, before, I know you're limited a little bit on time here, can we just talk about the, did you get a chance to see the Oaks at all, the ladies run the day before?
Yes, I did.
Boy, we had a long shot come in there. It was Mike Smith.
Yeah, my man.
Yeah.
Again.
Jamie doesn't want to hear that. But.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Oh, Jamie, by the way, Mike Smith wants your phone number.
Please don't. He'll have me killed. You know what? Actually, I would like to talk to him. I've got some things I would like to bring up.
You know, what a game, though. He wins the Oaks, and he's a champion, and he that happens in the Derby, and people are kicking buckets, you know? So that's damn Mike Smith. What a game.
Yeah, I do have the race call. Well, I know you're limited on time, so we'll let you go. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. We appreciate
you
being here.
You have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
And you can find Frankie Lovato. Just go to Facebook and search Frankie Lovato, and you'll find it. But apparently, some of our listeners did find you and join up the other day. So we're happy to hear that, too.
Frankie, you're the coolest, man. You're the coolest. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Anytime.
Bye.
Well, let's take a listen. You want to hear the Oaks? This is Friday. Here's the girls' run.
And they're off for the Longines Kentucky Oaks. And there was a skirmish towards the outside, and Dreaming of Julia was broadsided as they came out of the gate. Had her coming together with Pure Fun and also Princess of Silmar. Meanwhile, at the sharp end, it is Midnight Lucky who spearheads the field into the first turn. Beholder racing in second and then towards the outside. Unlimited Budget is just in third. On the inside, Sil Sita racing in fourth. Two lengths away, Sunning Girl is in fifth. On the outside, Rose to Gold in sixth. 22-4 for the opening quarter mile. Sees Closed Hatches with Dreaming of Julia behind her. Then to the outside, Princess of Silmar. And a long last down the back stretch is Pure Fun. Racing towards the halfway point in the 139th running of the Longines Kentucky Oaks. And the half was in 46-3. And the leader at halfway is Midnight Lucky and Rafael Bejarano. But now they are beginning to close up. Beholder to the outside, half a length away. Racing in second, Unlimited Budget in third. Still Sita is in fourth. Sunine Girl making a move. So too, Long Shot Princess of Silmar around the outside. Dreaming of Julia is now being ridden and asked for effort by John Velasquez, but is beginning to weave her way through. But she still has five lengths to find as they now turn for home in the Longines Kentucky Oaks. Beholder, the two-year-old champion, takes the lead. Midnight Lucky towards the inside, now in second. Unlimited Budget is in third, trying to stay on, together with Princess of Silmar, and then Dreaming of Julia, deep down the outside of the track, down towards the final 16th they go. Beholder, now being tackled by Princess of Silmar. Princess of Silmar for a shock at 36-1 in the Kentucky Oaks. Princess of Silmar and Mike Smith, a third win in the Kentucky Oaks for Todd Fletcher. A boil over as Princess of Silmar got up to deprive Beholder in the run to the line.
And, of course, Julia was the one that we had talked about on Friday, and we were watching because Callie had ridden Julia, and it just That horse got boxed out at the beginning of that race and never really recovered.
Oh, my gosh. What a race that was. And 36 to 1. You just
you want to hear what Pletcher had to say? I have a minute interview that the Blood Horse did with Pletcher. Now, this was after both races, and you're going to hear him sound so excited about winning the Oaks and not the Kentucky Derby here.
After the Derby, and here at the barn of Todd Pletcher. Todd, you had 5 starters yesterday, and just give us an overview of where you, how they ran and where you're going from here.
I thought Revolutionary ran really well. Got shuffled back pretty far, made a sustained run, got in front, and proud of his efforts. We're hoping we can do a little better in third, but thought he ran well. The other ones seemed to struggle with the racetrack a little bit and, you know, some various things like that, but they all came back in good shape and all heading to Belmont tomorrow.
And how many starters do you think you're going to have in the Preakness?
I haven't talked to everybody yet. Unlikely, I'd say, that we'd start any of those in the Preakness. But we'll see how they come out of it.
Had a great weekend. Got the Oaks victory, which had to be very satisfying.
Yeah, we had a great weekend. Had a great week, really. Went in the Derby trial and the La Troyon and the Kentucky Oaks. So didn't get the big one we came for, but all in all, it was a good week.
Are you picking up purses at big events and racetracks? It's always good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sounded so excited, didn't he?
It's like, when you said he got excited, I was like, wow, this is going to be good, because he's never excited.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. He's like,
won.
I won that damn race the other day and didn't win the Kentucky Derby.
The
screw
one.
That.
Yeah, forget it.
What was the name of that horse that won?
Yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Who did? We won that one? Shoot. I don't remember.
You know, he took away some serious money. That was a $1 million race. You know, old Todd Pletcher didn't do too bad. He got third. You know, Calvin Burrell, can't count him out, was in the money in the Kentucky Derby again. Now he came in third, but can't count him out.
It was
interesting, though, of Todd Pletcher's horses that we talked about. The next, you know, he had the third place with Revolutionary, and then it was Charming Kitten. One of the ones we joked about was Edgar Prado on board. So came in ninth.
Yeah.
That was his next placing.
Oh, poor thing. I feel so sorry for the poor millionaire.
And the one I picked, Verrazano, 14th place. Verrazano never showed up. He just was hanging out the back and getting mud splashed in his face and said, to hell with this. I'm going to go back to being a bridge.
Yeah, so. I think I came closest with Normandy Invasion, didn't I?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Chad Brown was the trainer, and I got to go. Some friends of mine had part ownership in a horse that ran at Keeneland a couple years ago named La Reine Leone, and she won, and they were like, come be in the winner's circle photo, and Chad Brown was the trainer, and I talked to him for like 5 seconds, but in the winner's circle photo, you have like the horse and Chad Brown and all my friends and all their friends and all the trainers and the owners and the people that work there, and then trickles all the way down to me standing on the very end like, hi. So I was in a winner's circle photo with Chad Brown. Maybe you can't see me because I'm at the very far end. I might have gotten cut out of the photo, but by God, I made it into a winner's circle at some point, and it was Chad Brown. So he was kind of a favorite pick of mine. So he ended up in fourth place, so that was good. And then we had a lot of listeners taking a lot of different horses, and, you know, so many people picked Orb, again, because just he was an easy pick. He was the fastest horse. And that's why I think it's going to pay off for the Preakness and hopefully the Belmont. If he can make it that far, he's just, dear God, he's just faster than everybody. And that's his goat. That's his calling card. You know, unfortunately, he can outrun anybody at this point as far as his times and fractions. And he got really lucky, and his jockey did a fantastic job riding him. And, you know, it's definitely a lot of luck, but my God, when you have that speed, you don't need luck.
You know, I was surprised that, too. They moved that horse already yesterday. They didn't waste any time.
Bye-bye.
You know, yep. He's already over
enjoy
at the next track. It's like, okay, we're moving him
off. Enjoy your day off in the trailer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a fun weekend, and certainly between badminton and all of that and the race, it was a lot of fun. Jennifer glued herself to the couch all day Saturday, just like you did. So, we had some interesting backstories, and of course, you know, all in the end, we had a favorite win this year, which was unusual over the last couple of years. So
certainly did, and it was about time. Well, let's wrap up the show today, but we'll be back tomorrow with some other Wednesday with some other news and all that. And we would like to wish Leslie from Horse Nation, who usually joins us at 10 o'clock this morning. She is on her one-year anniversary of her marriage. She's on a little vacation. So we wish her the best. And I'm sure she's tuned in right now listening to our show.
I'm positive. Have fun, Leslie.
Bye,
and don't forget, you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. We have 8 of them. And you can tune in through iTunes. Most people do listen through iTunes. You just go over to iTunes, the podcast section, and search for Horses in the Morning. Subscribe to our feed, and the shows will be automatically downloaded to your phone or your MP3 player, your iPod or iPad. That's probably one of the easiest ways to do it. And I did just check this morning, and it looks like we have a new player that we've put up on our homepage, where you click on it. And it's where you listen to past shows and things, where it says listen live. And that seems to be working very well on phones right now, too. So there's another way for you to listen on phones in addition to horsesinthemorning.mobi. You can go to the listen live button at our website as well. So all of that to help you find us a little bit easier. Well, Jamie, you have a great day. Take care. Counting down the days now. You're not counting down the months anymore, the weeks. It's the days now.
Yeah, and really exciting, and so I'm not trying to end the show, is because I have to actually go to the doctor's office right after this, and they just do unmentionable, ungodly things to pregnant women, and I'm just not looking forward to it at all. So, woohoo! Super
okay,
fun.
Well, have fun with that.
Pregnancy is awesome. This is great. Spay, neuter, and geld. People. Everybody.
Yeah, apparently,
anything.
Apparently you gelded your husband.
God. So fun. I recommend it. It's awesome.